Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Permanent Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com on this March the 17th, or if you're on the East Coast or the Central Time Zones, then you know it's already March the 18th. Good morning to you folks. Good evening to those of you on the West Coast and in the Mountain Time Zone. Well, lots going on. We've got some crazy bills again before the Congress. This time they're trying to criminalize growing your own food. Imagine that. Let's hope that you don't grow any mushrooms inside your old shoes. Anyway, it's appalling that they'll seize a house. This bill supposedly has some 39 sponsors. We won't even go into all the details about it, but you could suffer losing your home and $1 million fine. It's amazing now that they're going to criminalize eating, going to criminalize growing your food, as if they don't have enough ways of extorting money from the populace in this country. They've got to dream up some new ones. Obviously, this is something being concocted for Monsanto. In fact, the bill's sponsor is married to an employee of Monsanto. So we'll have more news about that as this travesty, another one, unfolds. Tonight's guest was booked about a month ago, and due to some unfortunate circumstances, couldn't appear on the show. And some of you may recall that I had sent out a plea that night to get some folks to help out. And, of course, that plea still stands. I have to thank some listeners who did heed the call and help out tonight's guest. He has been basically, since 1998, exposing financial corruption, both in the government as well as in the investment areas of Wall Street. And we brought him on board tonight so we can talk about what's really going on with the nation's finances. This man probably knows more than everybody you've heard for the last 10 years speak about this topic. He has a website called CAFR1.com. That's CAFR1.com. And I'm very pleased to have him, first time on Evident Footprints, Mr. Walter J. Burian, Jr. Walter, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Don. I was listening to what you were mentioning about growing your own food, and you keep everyone always keeps using the word they. And I'd like to qualify one point. There's an article on my front page which says, "No more attorneys, please." If you take a look at the congressmen, the senators, the governors, 65% are all now attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what the reputation of attorneys is. Bleed you dry, take everything you have, convince you that you need them, create an environment where you can't function without them, and after they're done screwing you, they ask you to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, effectively, if you look at the majority of the legislation, everything that's being done, it's all being done by attorneys. And they're very greedy, they're very ruthless, and they look at the population as a productivity resource to be managed and maintained and controlled. That's the motive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're considered sheeple by some, cattle by others, worthless eaters by yet others, and yet they profess to be working on our behalf. And I find that quite ironic, to say the least.
Yeah, the arrogance is king in that arena. And if you watch the bailout on CNN, there was an open mic, nonstop through the coverage. Mm-hmm. I noticed one consistency about every 20, 25 seconds. You'd hear uncontrollable laughter from the crowd. And, it was obvious to me they were chuckling about, well, do I get 7 wheelbarrows full of cash or 10 wheelbarrows full of cash? Oh, I'll settle for 8. you could hear the nonstop chuckling. But let's start off with a very primary point of what's going on now in the economy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I was a commodity trading advisor for about 14 years, traded the futures market for about 30. And I'll go back to what Alan Greenspan said in 2000. He was concerned about the $80 trillion a year international derivative market. Well, he forgot to qualify one point, which was the government was running about 65% of the paper in that market. A derivative, it's an advanced contract to buy or sell into the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole new casino. Big bucks, trillions of dollars goes through the derivative market each year in value. Well, from 2000 to 2008, they expanded the derivative market from $80 trillion to $600 trillion. And during that time period, the government was having a field day inflating their book values and clipping phenomenal equity out of the marketplace because, effectively, they were the largest accounts, controlled the most money, and thus effectively owned the cookie jar. And they could run the prices up, run the prices down. And to be very clear on derivatives, the public is psychologically conditioned to think, well, you got to buy something and the price has to go up and then you make money. That's totally incorrect with derivatives. You can go in either direction. So the government fund managers, through the use of derivatives, ran the prices up, inflated the stock market, inflated the crude oil prices. And then at the top, about 7 months ago, I'll give you a little tip here. CalPERS, which is California's state retirement fund, mm-hmm. Back in the 80s, they went to CalPERS International, government offshored, starting in the 80s with their primary large investment funds. So, come the year 2000, they had these massive multi-trillion dollar funds going, handled, Germany, Switzerland, all around the globe. So, as they ran the price up from 2000 to 2008, when it was, you have crude oil now up around $154 a barrel, the metals were on their highs, the stock market up around 15,000 on the Dow, they came in and shorted through these offshore derivative accounts massive amounts of equity positions in the futures market, and then through their local government investment funds, domestic U.S., they started dumping their physical holdings, stock holdings, and so forth, on the international marketplace, causing a collapse. And as the collapse ensued, they kept dumping more and more of their physicals. The end result was that guaranteed a massive profit on their short derivative positions held offshore. A derivative you can trade for 5 minutes, 5 days, or 5 months. Once you close out your position, you walk with the cash. So the $10 or $15 trillion that was sucked right out of the economy over the last 8 months and the ensuing collapses, you have to ask yourself who profited. For derivatives, for every dollar lost by one person, a dollar is credited into another account. And here we're talking about trillions of dollars transferred.
Mm-hmm.
So, here you have this massive market play. A few trillion picked up on a short derivative offshore accounts held by government. a few trillion in losses on their domestic, so they transferred wealth from one hand into the other hand, transferred it from the domestic accounts to the offshore accounts. It is so hard, so hot, so heavy that it caused many defaults. You can only steal so much from a person. You know, if you catch somebody on a derivative trade for $140 million and they have a net worth of $100 million, they're in default by $40 million. They created so many defaults, they'd stabilize their own playing field. What do? They come in with a trillion-dollar support package to bail out their own casino, their own accounts, their own investments, which the public didn't even know existed in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the definition of arrogance.
Yes.
I think so. So, effectively, I've been telling people, and all my there's several articles all have up on my front page, and almost all of them I brought forward that it is urgently needed to have a complete audit done of these offshore government investment trusts and funds, going back for 3 years to show the net result of these market manipulations. Yeah, they're promoting losses here domestically without a peep or mention of their offshore accounts.
Yeah.
Effectively, when the individual did this, they called it money laundering. When government does it, they call it, Bryant on their parts.
Yeah. Now, there's a myth about derivatives and hedge funds, and in general, one could say that this is actually worthless paper, that it's not actually backed by anything.
That's not actually true. On futures, you know, commodity futures, come expiration, everything settles out. If people want to take delivery, they take delivery. If they want to make delivery, they make delivery. A very small percentage does. But the bottom line is, even if, you know, interest rate swaps and so forth, even if they find out that they were not backed, okay, and you have a vacuum there on the actual vehicles, during the game, when people are buying, people are selling back and forth, you're walking with the cash when you close out your positions. It was the definition of musical chairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have people swapping these back and forth, sometimes in minutes, sometimes in days, sometimes in, weeks. But every time they close out their position, they have the outright cash made from the transaction. So as it happened on the housing bubble, for years, they're going back and forth, and people were walking with billions of dollars. Then all of a sudden the music stopped, the bubble burst, and was the definition of musical chairs. There were 48 players and 18 chairs when the music stopped. But all along the way, there were hundreds of players that stepped in, stepped out, stepped in, stepped out. They were walking with the cash and then left everybody holding the bag. As I mentioned, a complete audit to show who walked with the cash is urgently needed. We know who got burnt. We saw the end results of who got burnt. But what the people are not saying is who walked with the cash. Now, on my front page, I have a very long front page, a lot of information there.
Yeah.
With article links and so forth. You'll see a red staples button. It'll say CAFR downloads.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to click on that one. I list the comprehensive annual financial reports for the different states in alphabetical order. You'll also see, as you get down to the letter U, it'll say U.S. Treasury. Click on that. That's U.S. Treasurer Auditor General's reports on the bank derivative holdings and the bank mortgage holdings. Now, on the bank derivative report, click on that. It's a PDF file. Scroll down about two-thirds of the way through the report until you get to Table 1. Table 1 shows, the top 30 banks. J.P. Morgan is king. And by the way, on page 1 of that report, it notes that the top four banks control 94% of the derivative activity.
Mm-hmm.
But for J.P. Morgan Bank, which it shows on Table 1, it shows their net worth at $1.4 trillion, What do you think their derivative holdings were? Take a guess. This is the U.S. Auditor General's report. There's no speculation here. This is the number. Take a guess.
Well,
total derivatives held by J.P. Morgan Chase.
Yeah, okay. By J.P. Morgan, it was roughly $90
trillion. I'm sure he looked.
No, no. Yeah. I remember looking at that a month ago.
Put out the report, yeah. $90 trillion. I mean, does anyone out there in the public have an idea of what $90 trillion is? Keep in mind, Alan Greenspan, you know, in 2000, said he was concerned about the $80 trillion a year international derivatives market. So here's J.P. Morgan Chase, 8 years later, holding more than the entire world was holding 8 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, J.P. Morgan Chase, those derivative holdings were not primarily for the bank. It was for the clients of the bank. Who were the clients of the banks? Local governments and federal government investment funds. Now, if you look at the top five banks, you're up around close to 200 and some odd trillion dollars. So, you know, that's pinpointing who the primary players were.
Yeah.
Now, the banks, and, you have to look at who the clients of the banks are. That would be the local and federal government investment funds. Now, on the mortgage, the Auditor General's report on the mortgages, it showed, approximately $7 trillion in mortgages. It showed a default rate of roughly around 3%. And a delinquent rate of about 10%. Now, a lot of people heard on the news about Ginnie Mae and Fannie Mae and so forth. Both are federal enterprise operations. And what a federal enterprise operation is, quasi-government, quasi-private. So on the private side, they had a stock issuance, their stock, if you notice, went down through the floor. Well, the stock value is based on the shell of the management group. Yeah, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Ginnie Mae.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the investments held. It's the management company. So when the stock value went right down through the floor, that was for the management company. That $6 or $7 trillion of investments, okay, was primarily local and federal government investment funds. They were funding most of those mortgages. In fact, China had $350 billion invested, the Chinese government, and a lot of other international governments. But it was not private funds generally, it was primarily government funds. So here again, they use a couple hundred billion dollars of taxpayer funds to bail out their own investment vehicles, which the public didn't even know they had in the first place. Or that even existed in the first place, owned by government.
Yeah. Now, doesn't that sound like racketeering? I mean, this is done with the knowledge of the SEC, too.
The SEC is government. Letting the chickens watch, it's letting the foxes watch the hen house and determine how many chickens are eating.
Yeah, it's a bunch of wolves deciding what they're going to have for dinner.
It's two wolves and a sheep deciding what they're going to have.
Yeah, yeah.
What liberty is a well-armed sheep to debate the outcome.
Yeah, so who are the spineless individuals that are not demanding accountability for this? What does the General Accounting Office say about all this?
They're keeping a watchful eye on it. Yeah, I also have up on my download directory. You'll see the GOA audit of the IRS, and the IRS. I looked through the paperwork. I looked through the documentation that could be found, and from everything I've seen, IRS is a private collection agency, period.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the government. It's not listed in the federal consolidated financial reports, on the local governments, the IRS is strictly a private organization. It's audited by the General Accounting Office. It's audited by the Treasury. Their financial report, in fact, is audited. And it also notes that IRS has two financial reports. One for the corporation, as a private corporation, and two for their contract liability for collection for Congress of taxation. Okay, and you'll notice in every single report, every bit of documentation, the federal government recommends or suggests policy for the IRS. They can't tell the IRS what to do directly because it's a private corporation. And that's amazing when you look, because there's such an overpowering psychology you use to make everyone think that the IRS is government. It is not.
It's a corporation registered in Puerto Rico. Isn't that correct?
I didn't track down the registration because their actual annual financial report is not made available anywhere. Now, as far as I know, they could be registered in Italy. The impression I got is they were not a U.S. corporation.
Yeah, I think it's Puerto Rico, but
I won't know for sure unless I see their actual annual financial report showing their corporate structure, which they hold back. As I mentioned, the Treasury and General Accounting Office audits the IRS, their records, so the only thing that's published is their audit of the IRS's annual financial reports. The publication of those actual reports, I could not find anywhere, period. And I'm very good at finding reports. But the bottom line is, out of opportunity, from scratch one, the public left the vault door wide open. And now, as I mentioned, we have 65% attorneys, we swung in there to make sure that they cut the deals, dot the I's, cross the T's, to drain the population and keep the population running on the treadmill as they tap off the majority of the productivity produced. Now, people are familiar with taxation, and they think of government surviving off of taxation. When you actually start looking at the annual financial reports, only one-third of the gross income comes in from taxation. Currently, government derives two-thirds of the gross income from return on investment funds. The government took it all over by investment over the last 65 years, and return from their enterprise operations, such as golf courses, roadways, tollways, store plants, recycling plants. There's a whole plethora of different enterprise operations. Mm-hmm. One of the things that really got me furious, though, was when I caught this on Missouri. I was looking through Missouri's Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. For those that are not familiar with Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, in 1946, a private association called GFOA, with a nice government-sounding acronym, Government Financial Officers Association, started promoting to local governments to go on the annual financial reporting and accounting structure, just like IBM, AT&T, or Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And pitch was basically that they could still maintain their budget report, which is supposed to be a cash and carry type of operation. What you bring in, you're supposed to spend. And they would show where their tax income was brought in. So most budget reports are showing almost exclusively where tax income is brought in and spent. Okay, where now, if they're operating under the annual financial reporting accounting structure, they can shift over all profit centers, all investment funds, everything else, to be seen only on the annual financial report. So effectively, they selectively created budget reports just showing expense items and where tax revenue was spent, and created their empires not seen to the public through the comprehensive annual financial reports. But back to Missouri, I was looking through their state CAFR, and I see the state agencies showing 18 million bond dividend yield, 116 million bond dividend yield, 47 million bond dividend yield. I said, why are these state agencies showing income on bonds when you think to be paying out? Local governments are constantly promoting their debt oh, we have this $25 billion bond issuance. We're going to be paying it off until the year 2025. Well, what they had actually done there, they had created a state enterprise operation called the Missouri Finance Authority. All the state agencies, cities, counties, school districts were funneling their money into the Missouri Finance Authority. And then when that local government, city, the county, the state, had a bond issuance, you know, which is, the public would look at that as being debt.
Mm-hmm.
Do is they would promote the debt at the front door, and then through the back door, come in and finance their own debt using their own investment funds. So as in Missouri's case, yeah, they have so much money coming in the door that they financed all of their active bond issuances, and the ones from the past that were funded by the private sector, they came back in and refinanced, you know, a quarter point lower to be 100% self-financed. Now, all of the states are doing the exact same thing. California, New York, New Jersey, Florida. When you look at their listed debt on their budget reports, you have to ask yourself how much of that debt is actually funded with their own money. If you actually had a complete audit crossover match, you'd probably find out that 65% of that debt is actually self-funded. A good personal example, you know, to give, so you catch what I'm saying here, which is very important to catch this.
Yes, yes.
Say, for example, you, Don, had $5 million and you wanted to hide it. Okay, you come to me and say, Walter, I got $5 million in cash. I'm going to give it to you. I want you to start off a mortgage company. I'm going to buy a $5 million property. I want you to underwrite my mortgage, and I want you to charge me 16% interest, as you can get away with. Say you give me $5 million in cash. I start a little mortgage company. You buy a $5 million property. I underwrite it. Okay, and charge you 16% interest. Now, you go around to all your neighbors, friends, business associates saying, oh, my God, I have this $5 million mortgage, and it's killing me, and they're charging me 16%. I don't know if I'm going to survive. Right? Well, when you forget to mention it's your money, you're collecting the 16% interest through me. It's a slight tad bit of misrepresentation there.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, starting in the 80s, government started offshoring massive amounts of investment capital.
Yeah.
So they can play a lot of games back and forth between, you know, local and, offshore, investment transactions, including their own debt, market manipulations. Yeah, I've been trading the markets for 30 years, and I've come to 100% realization that all of these sweeps everybody keeps seeing back and forth, and everyone's, oh, the sky is falling. Oh, my God, the sky is falling. It's marked through the roof. Oh, my God, the sky is falling. There's no random, you know, action here or chance. Yeah, I keep telling people, when you own the cookie jar, you determine the price of the cookies, and government owns the cookie jar. Yeah, they have the multitude of zeros at the end of their account balances, and coordinating market moves between different associations, basically hurting everybody in the same directions back and forth. They've been cleaning up for the last 25 years, and the public, who's not part of the inner circle, ends up on the curbside, bleeding to death, licking their wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after 9/11, a lot of people got hit, 40-50% on their IRAs, on their investment accounts. Government didn't miss a heartbeat. They were the number one profiteers after 9/11. If you take a look at the net balance sheets and what transpired, they were having a little shirt going into 9/11.
Yeah, Walter, I'd like to ask you a question, and this is in regard to this mortgage crisis that they claim. Now, Bear Stearns was one of the top firms, and they had IndyMac go down, and shortly after, some bad news about Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae came out, and then all of a sudden, Bear Stearns collapses, or they say Bear Stearns collapsed. Now, they present these stories to us without any accountability. Nobody's showing us the books. Nobody's actually looking at anything, and we're just supposed to buy these stories. Now,
I go back to looking at those U.S. Treasury Auditor General's reports, especially the derivative holdings. It shows who the top players were. The top players haven't missed a heartbeat.
Yeah.
The ones that were not actively involved in the derivative game, with the volatility that was intentionally created, you know, they got their tail feathers burnt. And then the manipulators who were playing all of the games come in and buy them out for 10 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
Nothing complicated.
Yeah. One of the things that they're doing is they're selling contracts on the projected income from mortgages, for example, and they're doing it by the thousands. So you see all these foreclosures take place, but what's happening is these are illegal transfers. In other words, they're doing these via computer networks. They're not giving the original borrower a copy of the paperwork that now the mortgage is being held by another company. And they've pooled all of these things together saying, all right, over 30 years, you know, each, let's say somebody buys a $100,000 house. When they're done making the payments on schedule, it's going to be $300,000. So they're taking the whole $300,000 and they're putting that in a derivative pool.
As a traded vehicle. And what they did also was that they did so many swaps back and forth, divided, subdivided, broke up, fractionalized these different mortgages. What actually happened was, say, for example, you have a $100,000 principal originally. Mm-hmm. They transacted it so many times, they may have had $400,000, $500,000 in vehicles.
Yeah, yes.
That were only backed by $100,000.
Yeah, so, I've heard they've done this. They've done this up to 12 times on a piece of property off of three.
Yeah, and every time they're selling it and transferring it, somebody is walking with the cash.
Yes,
and
yes, I understand.
The expression "musical chairs." You know, when the music stopped, all of a sudden the bag holders were burnt severely.
Yeah,
what they thought had value evaporated into nothing. But what they have to realize is what evaporated into nothing was transacted on 5 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, and every time it was transacted on, somebody walked with the cash on that transaction.
Yeah. It's called robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, so, you know, there was, you know, my guesstimate is about $15 trillion, possibly even as much as $20 trillion, was sucked out of the economy on those deals. And you have to have a international audit of the government investment funds to see the net result, you know, of who walked with the cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, government has been sticking the public, you know, with these bailouts, you know, shoring back up their own casino or marketplace to protect the income on their own investments, government investments, not the public's investments.
Yeah.
The public was strictly the minnows to be pooled back and forth so the sharks could feed easily.
Now, in the case of auditing this on an international level, which you described, one would think that the Bank for International Settlements might be the ones to conduct that audit, yet it's alleged that they're part of the whole scheme as well. So who do you turn to? The World Bank?
Well, the problem here is the public has lost absolute control. They have zero, none. And, you know, that's a very dangerous position for the public. And, you know, that's why the public has been drained. You know, an ethical and honest government is there to protect the wealth of the country and the wealth of the people. When it goes astray and off track, then it turns into a organized machine to exploit the people and steal the wealth of the country.
Yeah.
And anyone listening to your show right now, I think they can guess what course has been taken here. And as I mentioned, 65% of the main controllers now are attorneys, and they don't see anything wrong. The only thing they, you know, if they suck 65% of the productivity out of the population, you know, their only concern is how come we couldn't make it had made it at 70%.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth. What do you see happening in this case? I mean, you've been researching this going on 11 years now.
Keep in mind the public is masterfully entertained nonstop. And the psychology used on the population is, you know, so well played out and effective. You know, I generally feel very sorry for the entire population because, you know, the syndicate, you can call it nothing other than a syndicate that's operating this massive, you know, wealth manipulation game. You know, they have the best psychologists, market strategists, they follow the curves and the data, and they know exactly what to say, when to say it, to school the minnows back and forth between the sky is falling and everything's fine. Well, you know, they've done their dastardly deeds over the last 8 months as they sucked all the equity out of the economy into primarily offshore accounts now. You know, the country is recovering, you know, economically. I put out a what I call a market rants report. I call the primarily the highs and the lows and the Dow back and forth on the sweeps and U.S. Treasury bonds. I said that the end of February will be the worst. March things will be neutral, April neutral, and May, June, and July you're going to start seeing nice upticks coming across on the economy. Or so. Yeah, you can only, bleed somebody so much until they stop bleeding and then they start recovering and stand up again. And what's essential for the population, is to be able to, come in and, change who the beneficiary of all of this to market manipulation is. It should not be the foxes and the, offshore accounts and so forth. I launched a site back in November called TaxRetirement.com.
Mm-hmm.
When someone looks, it'll sound too simple, but it's not simple. It's very complex, and it's the biggest catch-22 situation government has run into since their inception when it starts to take off. There's a four-point initiative that's presented that anyone can take. It's a template initiative, which anyone can take the ball and run with it in their local venue, city, county, state, Florida, California, New Hampshire, Tennessee, Maine. And under the program here, point number one of the four-point initiative is a complete independent audit of that local venue, a statistical review of that local venue, then the preparation of a prospectus to operate under the what I call the TRF principle of operation, and TRF stands for Tax Retirement Fund, which has the exact goal of doing exactly what it says, retire all taxation. The prospectus, based on the results of the audit, statistical review, and I'll use the 1965 standard, government has grown to the nth degree each and every year, constant expansion, 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 as they worked on their takeover game, and the growth has been obscene. So 1965 was a good year, and most people were not really that peeved at government. So I'll use the 1965 standard for consolidation to bring the government back to that scope and size after accounting for population increase and inflation. And then share the crossover mark using the TRF fund where the surpluses are consolidated, revenues consolidated, where the return from that fund equals the budgetary requirements of those local governments.
Mm-hmm.
And when that crossover mark is hit, you know, enough of a surplus can occur where you phase out all taxation in that venue. Property tax, sales tax, income tax, corporate tax, all taxation. Because the fund's growing and turning into a massive generator of wealth, which target goal is to phase out all taxation in that venue, and then when that happens, the public now becomes true owners. Now, when you knock out property tax right now, people don't realize it, but they're strictly renters.
Yeah.
Now, if they don't pay their property tax, they could have a $5 million home. The government's going to walk in, take it all, and sell it to their crony friends for 40 cents on the dollar, and then resell it again for 100% and get the old tax game rolling along again. It's extortion. Let's go back to the 30s, Al Capone. You know, he used to say, you know, what the hell are we doing fighting government? Let's become government, then we'll take whatever we want. Mm-hmm. The rest is history.
Yeah.
You know, private associations, you know, cropped up. You had GFOA, Government Financial Officers Association. They created the CAFR accounting structure. Then you had GASB, Government Accounting Standards Board, another government-sounding acronym, but private association. And what most people don't even realize, I mean, you know, this is fundamentals. The Republican and Democratic Party, strictly private associations, just like the Boy Scouts, you know, the Knights of Columbus. Yeah, you know, and they're designed to get their own internal players into the positions where they have full access to the till.
Yeah.
You know, that's been the whole psychology and motive. You could have the perfect, you know, public candidate come forward who is for smaller government, downsizing, phasing out taxation, okay, where 99% of the population would vote for that candidate. Yeah, we're going to see them. They'll use their entire psychology machine, their contacts, to make sure that only their promoted candidate is presented to the population, where the population thinks they only have two choices. Everyone else is excluded. They're not part of the club.
Yeah.
If they're not going to cooperate with the pilfering, they don't get there.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned your tax retirement fund, and it's been several months since I've read that, but as I recall, I think you projected that an individual would become vested in 8 years, was that? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Sometimes it can happen earlier. I mean, a lot of large local governments are so cash rich, when you do a complete audit, you know, with a consolidation, you could phase out all taxation within about 4 years, maybe 2 years. If you started from scratch, okay, say, for example, you and I went out and bought 30,000 acres someplace in the middle of nowhere, incorporated a county, started three cities, and we set it up where 25% of what we collected went into the tax retirement fund. In 8 years, starting from scratch, the balance would be generating enough to handle all government operations, and you could phase out taxation for everyone who was living there for that eight-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing I'm writing into the prospectus, as, you know, one venue after another comes online, is that, you know, once the TRF is in operation, paying for the ongoing budgetary obligations, all of a sudden everybody hears about, we want to move there. You have a flood of people coming in. So, you know, you have the tax structure set up from scratch, and the people, just like a regular pension fund, they vest. They move in, they pay on the tax structure for 8 to 9 years, and they vest, and no taxation, period. Just like a pension fund, because a TRF fund is exactly like a pension fund, except instead of paying a salary and benefits at retirement, which government is professionals on operating their own pension funds, they've got a 65-year exemplary track record, you're establishing the TRF funds to meet the ongoing budgetary obligations. It's the same application, it's the same vehicle, just a different application. So, you know, they've already proven it'll work. They already have the structure in place to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a matter of getting it done.
It's simple that would cure the problems of the country virtually overnight if every town in the country actually applied those principles.
Yeah, they all become the owner now.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's what we were told, isn't it?
And they now have a very big interest in looking at where are those monies invested, who's getting what, and what are the rates of return, who's doing the best job. Okay, very, very strong incentive to look. Where before, they weren't looking. In fact, they were off being entertained in left field as the boys were conducting business as usual on right. And just one little notation, everyone's heard about Enron. You know, Enron promoted their profits and hid their debt. What government does is the exact opposite. They promote their debt and hide their profits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those independent audits by the TRF are going to, show the true balance sheet of equity. Now, since I launched in November 2nd, a couple of months ago, everybody, we want this done yesterday, great idea, right? But you have the local Joes and so forth doing it, and they're kind of disorganized, and Yeah. So we have some people in Florida that are working on getting a county together to make it happen, and got contacts from Tennessee, California, Michigan, Maine, New Hampshire. But the big boys, you know, some strong heavyweights have yet to step forward, saying, Laura, I want this to happen, you know. I was talking to a CEO from a Fortune 500 company from Michigan. I gave him the full brief on the TRF fund and the prospectus and the initiative, you know, to accomplish the 4-point objective. And he said, Walter, they're not going to let you change the status quo. They're going to kill you. I said, you pessimist. I told him a little pessimist story I like to tell from time to time, but I brought up the point that in 1998 it started with national disclosure. And at that time, if you did a search on Google for CAFR, you got about 12 obscure hits. Zero in the press, zero nothing. I mean, it was a total 100% blackout, well maintained, on the simple mention, you know, the annual financial report for government. Keep in mind, there's over 136,000 produced each year now. Every city, county, state, school, district, enterprise operation, community college, you know, the whole nine yards. But, you know, they played the silence of the golden routine implicitly. About 98, I decided to go to war, and did 130 radio programs in about 2 months, nonstop every day, and broke the ice. Yeah, as things progressed, you know, I kept working on disclosure, and more people started learning. Now, when the people first started hearing this, oh, it can't be true, they could have done this right under my own nose. I would have seen this. I would have known about it. Yeah, if you've been told to look. And after the people did look, it took them about a year or two to digest it and start looking. When they looked, they saw, oh, my God, it's true. It's right here in front of our faces. All I have to do is look and do a little basic math and start adding up totals. The next thing that happens is depression sets in. Oh, it's too big. It's too late. They've done this, and there's no way we're going to be able to change this. It's just too big. And I'll tell them, stop your whining. You know, it took them 65 years to pull it off in the first place. That's a snap of the finger time-wise. 10, 15 years with a solid, unified, forceful corrective action. You know, we could be walking into the beginning of the millennium, 1,000 years of prosperity. Yeah, but everyone is so psychologically conditioned to chase after dollars, you know, chase after their own wealth, chase after their own little network, that, you know, when they realize how big this is, you know, especially the guys that can really make a difference, you know, some of the, you know, heavyweight players, they don't want to rock the boat, and they don't want to jeopardize their own game. Okay? They don't want the boys saying, hey, you're back in this, we're going to target you to wipe you out. We're going to set up a false SEC sting on you. We're going to set up some false arrest charges. We're going to confiscate all your assets. You know, they back off. They hide. You know, they don't want to jeopardize their little nest egg or their little, environments. Yeah, everyone's watching the TV and the radio being entertained with nonstop 10,000 sound bites coming at them. The chase after luxury and wealth, and the carrot is constantly dangled. You know, I brought up to quite a few people in the past, you know, Russia, you know, their openness was, we are the state, we will take care of you. You know, well, people weren't really driving themselves that strong, a little lethargic. And in the United States, what they did was, effectively, they got the chipmunk running on the treadmill chasing carrots, you know, running an optimum efficiency as he capped off 85% of the energy produced. You know, and they keep promoting an illusion into people's minds that they're going to prosper and accomplish wealth, while at the same time they're tapping off all that wealth and prosperity into their own pockets and taking it all over by investment. The if you look at the caliber and scope of the composite government investment funds right now, you know, they have more control on ownership than Russia could have ever imagined in their wildest dream, you know, back in the 40s and 50s. In fact, if you ever wonder why Gorbachev went Democratic, you probably looked at the structure in the United States and said, oh, those boys have more control than we do, and they're making 10 times as much. They wrote the better blueprint for absolute control.
Well, basically what you're describing in our closing moments here, you're describing this very efficient system of stealing money and hiding it from the public. I mean, every time you describe what they're doing, to me, it sounds like a crime.
Word they call it rape.
Yeah, I suppose we could call it that too. We see what happens to so many people that are charged with rape, how they get off with that too. So here they've got the money, and they presume they can get off.
Look at this $1 trillion stimulus package. If you actually dug into it and you looked at it, what they're doing is they're funneling all this money into corporations and businesses that they already own by investment.
Yes. Or their own offshore.
They guarantee themselves they're going to continue making good profits at the taxpayer and the public's expense.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well,
yeah, but people have to unify and say enough's enough. Yeah, I laid out the that 4-point initiative on taxretirement.com. I told you what point number one was, but let me jump real quick into point number two, three, and four. Point number two is that the TRFA, Tax Retirement Fund Association, who will be doing the audit, will have the full cooperation of the city, county, state, and U.S. Attorney General's office in completing the audit, statistical review, and preparation of the prospectus. Point number three, anyone who intentionally impedes or reports falsely will be subject to a first-degree felony. And that includes everybody in point number two. So, if you have the city, county, and state attorney general's office jacking you around trying to impede and allow reporting falsely by other agencies, guess who gets it with an indictment? They do. Point number four, not only do they get their worst nightmare, an independent audit and statistical review and consolidation for phasing out all taxation, point number four is that upon passage of the initiative, they will pay the TRFA 0.25% of the general purpose enterprise operating funds to conduct the audit, statistical review, preparation of the prospectus. The whole nine yards. So not only do they have the worst nightmare of the audit and the statistical review and showing to the public of what's there, they get to pay for it at the same time. And the public's going to say, yeah, 0.25%, it sounds real fair to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives the liquidity to put together teams one after another, because if I start getting swamped with 100, 200, 300, 400 different venues, we're making it happen here. We're making it happen. We're passing the initiative. If it passes, then, for each one, I'll be able to hire the teams of auditors, actuary, and legal to go in and custom tailor the initiatives for those venues and get them passed and the prospectus is drafted and get it underway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said the public's not 100% for it. Some heavyweights need to come forward saying, okay, let's make it happen. Business plan is there. Let's enforce it and make it happen.
Well, there are some big businessmen that are being crunched right now because of these games that are going on, because it's starting to affect them as well.
And they were on the outside discouraged. They were not part of the inside players. There's a lot of local governments that were not in the upper echelon that got burnt more than others. But that international audit of the offshore investment trust held by federal and local governments is so mandatory. And, that has to be focused on by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Get it done. Yeah, because the foxes aren't going to do it. They're not going to. Oh, yeah, by the way, we just stole $20 trillion and stuck it on you through taxes that they pay it back and shore up the investment arena so we can do it again. Right.
Yeah, it gets old hat. Walter, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to encourage folks to go to your website, CAFR1.com. That's CAFR1.com. And also consider making a donation to Walter so he can stay online, so he can continue these financial reports and studies. And that information is right near the top of his webpage.
When you click on the support tab for Juan Walter Burian's work, you'll see on the right up there, I work exclusively for the American public. I do not get subsidized by government. Quite the opposite. They've been trying to step on me for the last 10 years quite effectively, I must say. But I said to myself, I'm a very good fighter. If I can't do it, who can?
Yeah.
So I've been standing there on the front lines, the piercing arrow, taking all the heat to make it happen. And mm-hmm. I am as focused and persistent as you can be.
Yeah.
And when I started the GRF, I told all of my good friends, I said, one or two things is going to happen in the next 2 years. Either they're going to take me out, or I'll be one of the most popular guys in the country. I'm striking for option number two.
Okay. Also, people can subscribe to your email post. Now, how often do those go out generally?
I've never sent out more than one a day, and usually it's one every 3, 4, 5 days. If I see a point of interest that, needs to be comprehended, I'll bang it out. I usually put the primary articles up on my front page.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the key point is when there's something to be done or seen, I put it up. So
okay.
Comprehend it. I mean, you cannot correct anything until you comprehend it.
Yes.
And the opposition right here is to make sure that everyone's masterfully entertained, looking off at left field as the boys conduct business as usual on right field. I focus on right field, and I focus on the forest. So
yeah.
Many people will try to focus on leaves, branches, and trees in the forest and confuse the hell out of you.
Yeah.
And when you start looking at the entire forest, all of a sudden everything becomes crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I primarily always focus on the forest.
Okay. Well, I want to invite you back next month, and we'll do this again, go in depth into some of these topics that we basically just scratched the surface on tonight. And
your listeners, when they go to my front page, camphor1.com, you'll see my email address right there. If you listen to the show and it had impact on you, bang me off an email, let me know.
Okay. So, Walter, I look forward to the next time. Hopefully we'll get you on in the month of April. And I wish you the best of luck, and I want to thank you for all the great work that you're doing.
Can I leave you off with one last notation?
Sure.
Okay. Everybody hears about China. Oh, China, all these Chinese goods, Walmart, and everybody else, everything you buy made in China. Well, starting in 98, the Offshore Investment Trust of government funneled probably about $2 trillion into China, which has now blossomed into probably about $7 or $8 trillion in market cap. Everybody hears about the $1.5 trillion China has in U.S. dollars as their foreign exchange reserve due to the trade imbalance, but no one hears a peep about how much money the U.S. corporations that government owns by investment and the direct investment funds that went into China that government has been profiting from based on opening the doors to let that flood of Chinese goods come into the United States at the expense of the U.S. Workers and
mm-hmm.
Economy.
Yes.
But there's an expression, I don't know the exact person who said it, but it was treason never prospers, because if it does prosper, who dare call it treason? That was a quote from the 1400s, and happens to be the principle of operation right now in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So much treasonous activity taking place, but it's extremely profitable, so it continues.
Yeah.
Not run by 65% attorneys now.
All right. Well, Walter, we got to sign off. Thank you for being on Evident Footprints, and I look forward to your next visit. And
thanks again for having me there, and you have a great evening.
Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest, Walter J. Burian, Jr. Please visit his website at cafr1.com. Consider donating to help Walter continue his work. And there's a ton of information if you want to see what's going on and see some accountability, as well as get some direction toward what you can do in your particular state, then by all means, pay his site a visit. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. See you again tomorrow night when we have another show. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.